Money FM 89.3, best of the breakfast huddle. The Bigger Picture with Ryan Hwang.
Money FM 89.3, you're in the breakfast huddle. It is Thursday. You're here with Elliot Danko, Manisha Tank, and Ryan Hwang.
So usually we saw in the past two occasions a bit of what we call vaccine euphoria. Mm-hmm. But overnight when Pfizer announced that their final data shows a 95%, so that's a 5% increase from last week, right? 95% effectiveness. We didn't see that same kind of euphoria.
Yeah, and it was a bit of a choppy session on Wall Street overnight. And then suddenly in the last few minutes of trade, you suddenly had this dip of almost 300 points or so, and then the Dow ending lower. I mean, what's going on this sell-off?
Yeah, it's a bit of a seesaw with investors getting more jittery around the rising number of COVID-19 cases, especially in New York City, where it has now closed public schools. And closer to home, South Australia wakes up today in a six-day circuit breaker lockdown mode, and this is to contain a sudden COVID-19 cluster in the city of Adelaide. So lots to keep on the radar for investors. To get a bigger picture, I've got Shane Oliver. He is the head of investment strategy and chief economist at AMP Capital, speaking to us from Sydney. Morning, Shane. How are you doing?
Good morning, Ryan. I'm good. Happy you are too.
Yeah, I'm doing good as well. Shane, it's glad to hear from you. We've seen things fizzle out again this week. How do you read into this in terms of where markets are heading when you think about how, you know, there are more signs of short-term risks outweighing any market catalyst right now?
That's probably right. We did see that huge rally starting from around the time of the US election. That saw many markets break out to new recovery highs in the US. The share market went to a new record high. And that was also fueled by vaccine news, which, of course, has been very positive, and that's been affirmed overnight. But I think a lot of that good news was factored in. Now the market's starting to focus again on the here and now, and the here and now in Europe and the US still remains pretty bleak. And that's going to weigh on economic activity, and it's going to weigh on the recovery in the short term. So that's what the market's gone back to worrying about. I think the particular factor in the US session was these closure of schools in New York City. And of course, that's got everyone worried that, oh, here we go again, you know, another shutdown in the economy and so on. But I have a feeling that markets can now look forward to it. It's very different to earlier this year when we had the shutdowns, because there was no hope. There was no vaccine back then, whereas now there is this incrementally good news on the vaccine. If it is 95%, that's an incredibly high number, far better than the vaccine for seasonal flu, which is just about 45% effective normally. So that gives markets a bit of hope. So I think any pullback will be relatively modest.
All right, Shane, just looking ahead to next year, we sometimes hear about Australia being called the lucky country, and you believe 2021 is going to be a luckier year for Australian markets, and they are likely to outperform in the year ahead. And just to put things into context, the ASX 200 is year-to-date down 2.4%, not as bad as STI, which is down 13%, but it's really the US markets that have been outperforming this year, S&P 500 up 11%. What's going to make the turnaround for Australia next year?
I think there's five things. One is that Australia has done pretty well, but like Singapore recently, in controlling the virus. I know there's a bit of an outbreak in South Australia, but just bear in mind, South Australia's gone into a lockdown on the back of 23 cases. So there's zero tolerance for virus outbreaks in Australia, and that tolerance has diminished over time. And the fact that this latest strain of the virus incubates within 24 hours suggests that this six-day lockdown has a good chance of working. So I think the fact that we've managed to keep cases down, managed to keep deaths way down in Australia, I think provides confidence in reopening over the next few months in comparison to Europe and the US. Secondly, we've seen more stimulus than many other OECD or comparable countries. It's sort of, for this year, it's about 11% of GDP, obviously JobKeeper. The wage subsidy scheme was a big part of that, tax cuts and so on. Thirdly, we do have exposure to countries in Asia which are doing pretty well. The bulk of our exports go to Asia. Obviously, China's a factor there, ASEAN, Japan and so on. And that part of the world is doing better than other parts. We also have seen, I think, a bottoming out in the mining investment collapse. You know, mining investment boomed up until about 2013, then it collapsed, that weighed on the Aussie economy. Now it's picking up again. That's helping Australia and also helping the West Australian economy. And very finally, the Aussie economy and share market are quite cyclical. We've got big exposure to resources, industrials, obviously consumer discretionary stocks, but also financials. Not much exposure to IT and healthcare, whereas through the pandemic and the lockdowns, it's been IT and healthcare, which mm-hmm. have been doing very well, and that's why the US share market's outperformed and we've underperformed. Now, if we go into a global recovery through next year, helped by a vaccine, then I reckon cyclical sectors of the market will do better, and that will also help our share market. So for those five reasons, I reckon Australia will be a relative outperformer next year.
Yeah, Shane, but what about headwinds like the Chinese economy or market being a huge trade partner for Australia, and of course there are tensions playing out, and there is a wider shift away from things like fossil fuels towards renewables. So that's going to be a big dent for the Australian economy.
It will be, and those things are certainly risks. I think in the case of China, both sides need to get on the phone and talk about it. I think a Biden presidency will possibly encourage that, to be less focus on trade wars. That means less pressure on Australia to just sort of simply toe the line and go down the US path to impress the US president. So that, I think, will open the door towards a negotiated solution with China, which I think both sides have gripes in this issue, and I think really we should be sitting down and talking about it. But I admit that is a risk factor. The shift away from fossil fuels, that's inevitable in my view. We heard overnight the UK is banning the purchase, sale of petrol-driven cars or oil-driven cars from 2030. It's 10 years away. That's going to come. That's the reality. The world's going down. We don't make much petrol or fuel or oil, but we do have coal, and the world will shift away from that. But I think as long as we focus on other things, you know, obviously there's still going to be demand for coal for coking purposes for the production of steel. And the bulk of our growth, I think, will be in other areas. Gas is relatively clean, even though there'll be a shift away from it. It's going to take longer in the case of gas. But I think if Australia starts planning, then we can overcome that issue on a longer-term basis. It's not something that's going to happen next year. It'll happen over a few decades. But I think it's something Australia can adjust to.
Hey, Shane, just moving to another asset class. Bitcoin has broken above $18,000 for the first time in 3 years. So for the year, it's up nearly 150%. Walk us through where cryptocurrency fits on your investment strategy right now.
Well, I've got to be careful here. If I mention Bitcoin, sure enough, it'll end up in Twitter and there'll be all those Bitcoin fanatics really hammering me if I say anything negative. I reckon the rise in Bitcoin is partly due to the fall in the US dollar. We've seen many commodities go up in price as the US dollar has come down in value, and Bitcoin is priced in US dollars, so therefore it makes sense that it's gone up as well. And that partly reflects confidence in a global cyclical recovery, that the US dollar's coming down. But there's also a momentum factor in there as Bitcoin goes up, and it has gone up a lot, almost back to its 2017 high. Mm-hmm. That attracts more investors into the market. And the other factor is some people think that inflation's about to take off, and therefore maybe Bitcoin will be a protection against that. I'm now a little bit skeptical of Bitcoin. I don't deny that it could go up from here. If it breaks above its 2017 high, it could go up a lot higher. It could double in value. But the problem is I have nothing fundamental to go on. I think the world will go down the path of digital currencies over time, but I'd rather rely on one provided by my government and Australian institutions than one that's out there in cyberspace. I know everyone's going bonkers when they're hearing this, but that's just me. And I don't think there's going to be a lot of demand for it, particularly. You know, why Bitcoin and not these other 1,000 or so cryptocurrencies? Yeah, I don't have it in a portfolio. I find it very hard to put a value on where it should be. And that, I think, makes it hard to justify having in a portfolio. That said, each to his own. If others want to have it, they can. It's just that I'm not particularly encouraged by it. And I'm also conscious that it's meant to be a currency. It's called a cryptocurrency. But I can go and get 50 Australian dollars out of an ATM. I can have that in my wallet for purchase over the next couple of weeks. I'm a lot more confident as to what that $50 will buy than what Bitcoin will buy. Bitcoin could go up dramatically, fantastic. Alternatively, Bitcoin could collapse in value, and then I'm left high and dry, as it did between 2017, late 2017, and late 2018. It fell more than 75% over less than 18 months. So it is very volatile. That's not the sort of thing you want to see from a currency.
Yeah, many market watchers seeing it as a momentum trade. I was chatting with Shane Oliver. He's the head of investment strategy and chief economist at AMP Capital. Shane, thank you so much, as usual, for your time this morning.
My pleasure, Ryan. Have a great day.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.